Hebrews chapter 1. As we said last week in the introduction to this book, this book sums up the whole Old Testament. It's a brief summary of the whole Old Testament. And like the Old Testament, this book and every other book can be summed up in the words found in verse 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power. And when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Those two words, glory. Well, three words. Power and majesty. Glory, power, and majesty. Sums up this book, the whole Bible, which speaks of, our Lord said, they testify of Me, the Scripture. Were written to testify of the glory, the power, the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said that. He said, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. The majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. In those first three verses, I think we got a little glimpse of His glorious person and His majesty. Verse 4 is where we left off. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, He says He's made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, this book, Hebrews, could also be, the theme is Christ is better. Christ is far superior to anyone and everything, vastly superior, far better. Much is going to be said about the angels. Christ is far and above them. Much is going to be said about the law. Much is going to be said about Moses and so on. And the Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture says, is far better, vastly superior. Listen to Ephesians 1. Listen to this. It says He is far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. And God hath put all things under His feet. And Colossians, listen to this. Colossians chapter 1, most of you know these verses. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. The preeminent one, or the vastly superior Lord Jesus Christ, the fairest of 10,000, the bright and morning star. And verse 4 says that He hath been given a more excellent name than the angel. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels did God say at any time, Thou art My Son? That's His name, the Son of God. God said, which of the angels did He say that to? Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. God said that concerning Christ. He is My Son. And then when He came to this earth, God said it out loud, didn't He? Twice. This is My well-beloved Son, the only begotten of the Father. John said, full of grace and truth. And verse 5 says, again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, this verse of Scripture is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want you to turn there with me. 2 Samuel chapter 7. as I just quoted, they are they which testify of Christ. The Old Testament Scriptures speak of Christ. They are written to bear witness of the Christ who was to come. The Old Testament says someone is coming. That's what the whole book is about. From Genesis to Malachi, someone is coming. That's why God had that book written. The Gospels say He's here. The one that we waited for. As Isaiah said, this is our God. We've waited for Him. He'll save us. God manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel. God with us. The epistles and the revelation say He's coming again. He's coming again. So they are they, the Scriptures, Old Testament, speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that there are no less than 7 verses of Scripture quoted in the first chapter of Hebrews. All right? 2 Samuel is one of them. We just read it. Look at verse 14. Now, he quoted it. I will be his father and he shall be my son. Who was... This is God speaking here in 2 Samuel of... You know who he was speaking of? Solomon. Right? David's son. In that chapter. Right? That's the story here. But the Hebrews doesn't even mention Solomon. As if this is strictly speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't even mention it. He says, this is what God said of His Son. All right? Now, look at the next part of that verse. I will be His Father and He shall be my Son. If He commit iniquity, I will chasten Him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from Him. Right there is 2 Corinthians 5:21. For those of you who are students of, God hath made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Him who knew no sin. That's substitution right there. Though Christ committed no sin, God made Him to be sin. He's the Son of God, and God sent Him down to this earth to do that work. For Him to be made sin for His people. A substitute. A sin sacrifice. And God laid on Him all the iniquity of all of God's people. He didn't personally commit those sins, but He became sin. And He was smitten with the rod of men. Crucified by man. Yet it pleased the Father to bruise Him. God killed His Son. Because His Son was our substitute. So right there you have it. Right there you have it. So the writer, go back to Hebrews. God had Hebrews written and there's no mention of Solomon. It speaks of Christ. Speaks of Christ. And you're so blessed if you know this, if you believe this. Not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble do. Not many masters in Israel know these things, but if you do, you're so blessed. Salvation. What we're seeing here in Hebrews 1, right from the beginning, is God revealing His Son. God showing us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, He that seeth the Son, seeth His glory, seeth who He is, seeth His glory. And believeth on Him. Believes He's all. That He is salvation. 100%. Christ said, I'll lift Him up. I'll raise Him up at the last day. That's my people. And God is revealing His Son. Who He really is. Not just that man named Jesus that people thought was just a man. But as He is, high and lifted up. Majesty, glory, honor, God manifest in the flesh. The other day, we ate dinner with some neighbors, and they just kept insisting we go out to dinner with them, and this one lady just would not take no for an answer, so we went. And there was a man sitting there that obviously had lived a very rough life, and he was talking about various things, and I got up, left the table, and came back, and when I came back, Mindy was talking about me. She was telling that man a little bit about my story, the prodigal son, you know, my past. And she made this statement. This is all I heard her say. But the Lord revealed himself to Paul. Now, the world does not know what you're talking about when you say that. They really don't. Salvation is to have the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to you. And Paul said, in me, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, Paul said, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. This is salvation. Our Lord said it. To know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And that doesn't mean just know about him. Not just believe some facts concerning him, but to have his true person revealed not only to you, but in you. And the messages today will be very similar. I'm getting into the morning message right now. That's because there's only one message. And it's of the person and the work. Salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is salvation, to have the Son Christ revealed to you who he is, why he came, what he did, where he is now, and what that means to you. And revealed in you means to give you love for it. So she said, when the Lord revealed himself to him, to Paul, as he does with all of his people. Peter, James, and John, here it is in short. They said, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. Most people just see a man named Jesus. A good man. A powerful man. A charismatic man. But he's more than that. And God hath revealed him unto us. Here's what the Lord himself said. He said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Meaning, nobody knows who Christ was unless the Father revealed him to them. He said to his disciples, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And our Lord said, and no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Nobody knows God unless Christ says, reveals him to the Father. All right, who is that? Philip said, show us the Father. Remember? No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal the Father. Philip said, show us the Father, he said, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And that Thomas later on, who didn't believe before, he did later, and he fell at his feet and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus? Yeah. God. Far more than just a man named Jesus. What angel did he say, this is my son? And verse 6 in our text. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let the angels, all angels of God, worship him. Well, Scripture says you should worship the Lord God and him alone, doesn't it? Thou shalt worship no other. Thou shalt worship the Lord God. God said, worship my son. And he must be God. He must be God. And all the angels worship him. Verse 7, and of the angels, He saith, for God maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers, or servants, that are flames of fire. Angels are powerful and glorious creatures. Angels, the Lord is going to send four angels to do a great work upon this earth. His angels are often spoken of in Scripture, and they're often referred to or used in reference to fire. When God Almighty cast the man and the woman out of the garden, He barred the way to the tree of life with an angel with a fiery sword. And the angel, you know, was a fiery pillar leading the way and so forth. Angels are powerful, flaming servants, as it were. There was an angel, remember, ascended up in that sacrifice before Manoah and his wife. Angels are glorious, powerful, fiery, yet they must worship the Lord Jesus Christ. God said so. Bow down and worship the Son. And though Christ, Hebrew says, was made a little lower than the angels, made flesh. Angels weren't. He was made flesh. A body hast thou prepared me. Made a little lower than the angel. That was for the express purpose of dying as a man. But he's not lower than the angels now. Catholicism likes to talk about Jesus in this term, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Well, he was, but not now. Scripture says high and lifted up. Revelation 1 talks about his countenance shining as a sun in all its strength, his feet burning as brass in a furnace. John couldn't even look upon it. That's as he is, not as he was. He robed himself, he hid himself, he veiled himself in flesh. And the only ones who knew then and know now who he is are the ones that he revealed himself to, like Peter, James, and John. So that's what the Lord does for his people. Look at verse 8. Here's what the Father says of the Son. Verse 8. Unto the Son he, God, that is, saith, Thy throne, O God, this is Psalm 45, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom, His kingdom. Well, our Lord said, pray this way, Our Father which is in heaven, Thine is the kingdom. Whose kingdom is it? God's. Well, who's God? Christ is. The Father is. The Son is. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is. But I don't understand. I don't either. But it's true. You're to worship Him as we worship the Father. Because He's God. Manifest in the flesh. God the Father called Him God. The Jehovah Witnesses. They say this. They vehemently deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, as do the Mormons, as do many others, as does most modern religion, really, deny His absolute sovereignty as God, doing as He will, with whom He will, just because He will. That's God. Working all things after the counsel of His own will, not man's will, His will. None can stay His hand and say unto Him, you can't do that. That's God. That's the true God. And that's Jesus Christ. Well, men vehemently deny that. Vehemently deny that by saying things like this. Won't you let God? Won't you let Jesus? Won't you let... Isaiah 43 says, God will work, and who shall let Him? Who shall prevent Him? Who does He consult? Who can prevent Him? Who can thwart Him? Nobody and no nothing. He does as He will. They asked David, they said, David, this is our God. He does what we will. He does what we let Him do. That's an idol. And they said to David, where's your God? He said, He's in the heaven. He sitteth on the circle of the earth. And he said, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's God. That's Jesus Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, he said. As thou hast given him authority over all flesh, he says, that he should give eternal life to as many as God hath given him. Not offer eternal life to those that will let him. Christ of Scripture is God. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Without a question, there's no shadow of a doubt in that. And God's people know that. They all know that. They're all taught of God. Our Lord said that in John 6:45. They shall all be taught of God. What does God teach them? Who Christ is. That no man cometh unto the Father. Nobody's going to see God, be with God, but Christ. That the one on the throne they will see someday is none other than that one that hung on the cross. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Father. God manifest in the flesh. Listen to this. God said in Isaiah 43:10, he said to his people, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Who's that talking about? The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God manifest in the flesh. And as we said, there are many who vehemently deny this, argue against the truth that Christ is God, equal with the Father. They say now, as they did then, this is what men said back then, and this is why they killed him. He said, "You're just a man, and you make yourself God." That's what they said. They said, "We will not have this man reign over us." But the fact is, he was and he is God, but he made himself a man. And people get confused about words like made in verse 4. Made. Well, Scripture, we're going to see this in Hebrews, where he who was with the Father in the beginning, this eternal one, he didn't begin 2,000 years ago. But it says, "A body hast thou prepared me." This was he who was and is to come. The I Am. The Eternal One. This is the Eternal One. And in the volume of the book it is written of him, "Lo, I come." He came. He had to come to earth as a man. God prepared him a body and put that body in a virgin's womb, because Scripture says he would be born of a virgin without sin, without the seed of man. Okay? On purpose, as a man. But he didn't begin then, did he? And that confuses people. He's made so much, a little lower than the angel. Made. That confuses people. Well, no, it doesn't confuse people. People are already confused. They're born confused. They don't know the truth. They don't know God. They don't know the Christ of Scripture. And God leaves them confused with those things. He hides those things. Our Lord said he hid these things from the wise and the prudent, but reveals them unto babes. We know why Christ had to become a man. God can't die. God said, "The soul that sinneth must surely die." Man can't satisfy the law. God said, "It shall be perfect to be accepted." God can't die. Man can't keep the law in order to live forever. So God became man. And a man named Jesus died as a substitute for sin. But the God fulfilled the law, lived perfectly, holy, righteous life. And he did it for his people. For his people. To charge it to their account. That's the gospel in a word. Substitution and satisfaction. And God said of his Son, that there be no doubt about it. God said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Ever and ever. And I was going to have you look at so many verses. Because the Scriptures are full of verses. Isaiah 7:14, "A virgin shall conceive, and thou shalt call his name," what? "Emmanuel." Which be interpreted is God with us. Oh, it's a great mystery. But God was manifest in the flesh, tabernacled among them. And someday, though no man hath seen God or can see God, we're going to see God in a body, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if you know who He really is, flesh and blood, oh, blessed are you. Like He said to old Simon, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I am that I am." I am. Okay.